All right, welcome back to the deep dive. Today, we're going deep on a case that I think is going to be really interesting for anyone out there who's you know, fascinated by corporate fraud and how the law is interpreted, especially, for you law students out there. This is the case of United States XRL, Schutt v. Super Value Inc. This was a unanimous decision from the Supreme Court, which is always interesting, and it really changes the game in terms of how we go about proving intent in False Claims Act cases. So this is a big one.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this case is all about getting into the heads of these corporations, right? Like, what did they actually believe when they were submitting these claims? It's a great example of how just, looking at the specific words Congress uses in a law can have these massive downstream impacts.
So let's start with the basics. For those who maybe haven't encountered it yet, what exactly is the False Claims Act? We hear about it a lot, especially in the context of healthcare fraud.
Right. So think of the FCA as like the government's main tool to fight back against fraud, anyone trying to cheat federal programs. And this applies to a huge range of things, everything from healthcare to defense contracts to you name it. Now, to win an FCA case, you typically have to prove three things. One, that there was a false claim, right? Someone lied to the government. Two, that this claim was submitted knowingly. It wasn't an accident. They knew it was false. And three, that this false claim was what we call material. Basically, that it was important enough to influence the government's decision to pay out money.
Okay, so it sounds like that second element, that knowing part, that's where super value really comes in. The Supreme Court is saying, look, we can't just look at whether a company's actions seemed reasonable on the surface. We have to dig deeper and figure out what they actually believed.
Exactly. And that's the big shift here. It's not just about objective reasonableness anymore. It's about subjective belief. What was in their minds? Did they have doubts? And I think that's going to make it easier, potentially, for whistleblowers to come forward and say, hey, this company knew what they were doing. They were trying to pull one over on the government.
So let's talk about the specifics of the SuperValu case itself. Give us the rundown. What were the facts?
All right, so we've got SuperValu and Safeway, these two big pharmacy chains, and both of them, they had these discount programs, right? So customers could come in and get their prescriptions at a lower price. But here's the thing. When these companies went to get reimbursed by, Medicare and Medicaid, those federal healthcare programs, they weren't using those discounted prices. They were billing based on their higher, what they called usual and customary prices.
Interesting. So the whistleblowers come in and they're basically saying, hold on, these discount programs, they weren't just some rare exception. These discounted prices were the prices that a lot of people were paying on a regular basis. Those should be the real usual and customary prices. Their claim was that these companies, Super Value and Safeway, they were hiding those lower prices and they were doing it intentionally to get more money back from the government.
Yeah, spot on. They were saying these companies knew exactly what they were doing. So before this case went up to the Supreme Court, it actually bounced around the lower courts for a bit. Do you want to remind us how those decisions went, particularly when it came to this whole issue of knowingly?
Yeah, so at the district court level, the judge actually said, yeah, I agree. The claims that Super Value and Safeway submitted, they were false. But, and this is important, the court granted summary judgment for the pharmacy companies.
So they said the pharmacies won, even though the claims were false.
Right. And the reason they gave was that the companies didn't act with what's called scienter, which basically means they didn't have the required knowledge or intent to deceive. The court's reasoning was that they couldn't have knowingly submitted false claims if they believed their interpretation of usual and customary was reasonable.
Gotcha. And then what happened at the Seventh Circuit? They appealed it.
They did. And the Seventh Circuit upheld the lower court's decision. They relied heavily on a previous case, Safeco Insurance Co. v. Burr. This is where it gets interesting. Because Safeco, it involved a completely different law, the Fair Credit Reporting Act, not the FCA.
Okay, a totally different legal context. How did the Seventh Circuit apply that to Super Value?
Well, they basically used it to say that as long as Super Value and Safeway's interpretation of usual and customary prices was objectively reasonable, they were in the clear. They didn't consider what the companies themselves believed. They just looked at whether their actions could be seen as reasonable from an outside perspective.
So the big question the Supreme Court had to grapple with was, does knowingly, as it's used in the SCA, depend on what the defendant actually believed to be true? Or is it enough for them to say, hey, our actions were objectively reasonable, even if we had some doubts? And it's a huge difference in terms of how you approach these cases.
And As we said, the Supreme Court was unanimous in its decision. They didn't mince words either.
Not at all. They said very clearly that the FCA's knowingly requirement hinges on the defendant's subjective beliefs. It's not about what a reasonable person might have thought. It's about what the defendant actually knew, whether they were deliberately ignorant or if they recklessly disregarded the truth.
And they even had that one really powerful line that sums it all up, right?
Oh, yeah. The court said, what matters is whether the defendant knew the claim was false when submitting it. Boom. Right there. That's the core of it. Their state of mind at the time.
It seems like the Seventh Circuit's reliance on that Safeco case was a big sticking point. How did the Supreme Court address that?
They basically said, look, Safeco was dealing with a different statute, the FCRA, which uses the term willfully. And willfully, in that context, suggests a higher DAR than knowingly in the FCA. So Safeco doesn't apply here. They were very clear about drawing that distinction.
So it comes back to this idea of statutory interpretation, right? We have to pay really close attention to the specific words Congress uses. Knowingly doesn't mean the same thing in every law.
Exactly. And the Supreme Court went on to explain that the FCA's scienter requirement, this idea of knowing, it's rooted in the common law of fraud. And common law fraud, it's always been about the defendant's subjective belief. Did they honestly believe what they were saying? If not, that's a big problem.
And that leads us to the three ways that someone can act knowingly under the FCA, which the court reiterated in this decision. It's a helpful framework to think about.
Right. So the first way is actual knowledge. They straight up knew the claim was false. The second way is deliberate ignorance, sometimes called willful blindness. They suspected something was wrong, but they intentionally avoided finding out the truth. And the third way is reckless disregard. They knew there was a good chance the claim was false, but they submitted it anyway.
And the court was very clear that even if a term like usual and customary could be interpreted in different ways, that ambiguity doesn't give companies a free pass, especially if they had doubts themselves.
Yeah, they hammered that point home. It doesn't matter if there's some ambiguity if the company knew deep down that their claim was likely false. If SuperValu and Safeway actually believed that their discounted prices were the true usual and customary prices, they should have submitted claims based on those prices. They can't hide behind ambiguity if they had their own internal concerns.
It also seems like the evidence the whistleblowers brought forward about what was happening inside SuperValu and Safeway really mattered to the court.
Totally. Those internal emails, memos, anything showing that these companies were worried about regulators figuring out their pricing practices, that's powerful stuff.
Yeah.
It gives you a glimpse into what they really believed. It's not just about what the regulations say. It's about how the companies themselves understood them and whether they knew they were pushing the boundaries.
So it's less about what an outsider might think is reasonable and more about what the company internally believed to be true, right?
Absolutely. And this shift towards subjective belief, I think it has some really big implications for FCA cases moving forward. I mean, what do you see as the main takeaways for both sides, for the whistleblowers and the companies being accused?
Well, for whistleblowers, I think this decision is a win. It's going to be easier for them to fight back against early dismissals of their cases, especially at that summary judgment stage. They can now focus on bringing evidence that suggests the company had some internal awareness that their claims might be false. So think emails, memos, training materials, maybe even testimony from people who worked there about the company culture and what people understood. That kind of evidence is going to be key to proving that knowingly element.
And what about the companies on the receiving end of these FCA lawsuits? What do they need to keep in mind?
I think for companies, it means they can't just rely on arguing that the regulations were vague or that their interpretation was one of several reasonable options. If there's evidence that internally they knew there might be a problem with their claims, or if they tried to hide information, that's going to be a problem. They're going to need to show that they genuinely believed their interpretation was correct when they submitted those claims.
It really raises the stakes, doesn't it?
It does, and I think it reinforces the whole point of the FCA, which is to go after companies that are intentionally trying to cheat the government, not just those that make honest mistakes or have a different reading of a complicated rule.
Right. This case is a great reminder for anyone studying law, you know, especially for you law students out there, that statutory interpretation is so important. You got to pay close attention to the words Congress uses. Like here, the court really focused on the word knowingly and said, look, in the context of fraud, this has always been about subjective belief.
And they went back to the common law roots of fraud to make that point.
Exactly. And, you know, for our listeners out there, think about this scenario. Let's say there's a hospital and they're billing the government for some new procedure using a specific billing code. But this code, it's kind of vague, you know, not super clear if it applies in this exact situation. And now imagine that their own compliance officer internally sends out a memo saying, hey, I'm not sure if this code is actually right for this procedure.
Yeah.
Under super value, if someone blows the whistle and files an FCA case, that memo could be a smoking gun. It shows that the hospital had internal doubts, even if later on an expert might say, well, the code could be interpreted to cover that procedure.
Yeah, that's a great example. It really highlights how internal doubts and discussions can now come back to bite companies, even if they can find an expert to support their interpretation after the fact.
That's the key. It's not about what some expert might say is possible. It's about what the company itself knew or believed at the time.
So, the bottom line from SuperValue is this. If you're dealing with the False Claims Act, don't just ask what a company should have known about the rules. Ask what they actually knew, believed, or deliberately chose to ignore when they submitted that claim.
That's it. That's where the focus has to be now. Mm-hmm. Actual knowledge, deliberate ignorance, or reckless disregard. Those are the questions we need to be asking.
Well, this has been a really fantastic deep dive into a really important Supreme Court decision, United States XREL Schutt v. SuperValue Inc. It's a game changer for FCA cases, and it puts the spotlight squarely on the defendant's state of mind.
For sure. And, you know, it makes you think, how might this focus on subjective belief play out in other areas of law where intent matters? Mm-hmm. And what does it mean for companies in terms of building a culture of compliance where those internal red flags are taken seriously? It's something we all need to be thinking about.
Absolutely. Great questions to ponder. Well, thanks for joining us for this deep dive, everyone. We'll be back soon with another fascinating exploration of the legal world.